dunks by Smith, and no rebounds. If that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of West Coast Knicks Then. I am your host, Matt Ritter. I'm back in L.A., and with me, as always, from New York, is Jeff Cerulli.
Yo.
Well, I am in a good mood. I sounded the death knell, but maybe I was a bit too premature last week. I'm doing a 180. They're back. We're back, baby.
Well, what did I say? I said at the podcast last week, I said, when things look bad, of course, the easiest thing is to say, oh, season's over, they're done, you know. But, hey, man, that's sports. Sports change very quickly, things. And now, granted, you got to, you know, keep in mind who they've beaten. But, hey, four in a row is four in a row when you're playing like absolute shit.
Yeah, you know, I honestly say I don't care about the opponent either, because we just needed a winning streak to get us, I mean, really to the win number we need. It's irrelevant at this point in the season who it is.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the most important thing is Melo's healthy, it looks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of encouraging things, but obviously it starts at the top. He looked totally, totally spry. I mean, I don't love that Woodson played him 43 minutes on the first night of that back-to-back.
Yeah, the problem is they needed him some of this game, like that Raptor game. The first Raptor game, he couldn't take him out. You know, yes, the laugher, but they needed him.
I hate that, but I just feel like you got to figure out a way to take him out earlier. I get not, you know, not taking him out in the fourth, but you got to figure out a way to prevent that. I mean, you know, Woodson's just not good with these guys. You know, like they go, oh, he's got a minute limit of 30, and then he goes, all right, well, I'll just play him 35 and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like,
yeah.
You just had your knee drained. What are you doing playing 43 minutes on the first night of a back-to-back? That's crazy to me.
I can get on people getting on Woodson about the rotations. I can understand that. They're a little spotty at times. Like, Copeland will be hitting shots, and then he doesn't, like, play again the rest of the first half. Like, things like that, you can get on him about.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I just feel like, okay, yeah, we need Melo, right? But do we need him to play the entire first and third quarters, all 12 minutes?
I hear you, man. It is a concern.
Like, why can't he come out with 2 minutes to go just to give him a little extra rest in both those moments? That's not going to change the outcome.
Well, they did have two dangerous end of the first halves this week, right? Wasn't that game against the Jazz? They kind of ended it kind of shitty.
You know, no, I'm not talking about the half, though. I'm talking about the end of the first quarter and the end of the third quarter.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah, yeah. You want to give him rest whenever you can. And if that's what it is, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, because if you give him that extra 4 minutes, I just feel like that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but look, regardless, Melo looks great. I mean, does he not look as good as he did at the beginning of the year?
He looked really good. And, the thing that was interesting was the Nuggets game that I think the whole reason he played was because he hadn't played since the trade. I think he set out, people were going to call him a pussy. Right? Isn't it kind of like that old school mentality that he was playing no matter what because he didn't want to look like, you know, like he didn't play in that game because, you know, he was afraid? Doesn't it seem a little like that?
I think Melo has that I don't want to get punked mentality for sure. And it doesn't help with J.R. Smith and Kenyon Martin egging him on.
Uh-uh. So I think it was that. It was just selfish that he had to play in that. He wasn't healthy. They weren't going to win it anyway. So, but hey, at least it's done now, and we're past that. So
look,
that's okay now.
I'm happy Melo's healthy. Right. That's the most important thing. He's healthy. He's playing well. I have to give out a pretty big apology right now. You know who it's to, right?
For Kenyon Martin?
Yeah. I have to really give him a pretty big. I don't know. What do I do? Should I send him flowers?
Yeah. Not. Do not put popcorn in his car, though.
No, he does not. He does not like that.
He does not like that. For a guy who loves popcorn, he doesn't like it in his car.
You know, that's a story. I don't know. Some of our listeners might not know that story. You want to tell them what that is?
I forget who did it, but someone as a prank put in his, like, brand new car a hole. Like, they just filled it with popcorn. and it like greased up the interior and like fucked it up, and he went like ape shit. It was when he was on the Nuggets. I feel like J.R. Smith had something to do with it.
Yeah, I feel like Kenyon pulled a knife on somebody at the very least after that. Well, you know what? We were wrong. I was wrong. I don't know what you felt. I don't remember you being as harsh on him as I was. But the guy has been an absolute savior this past 2 weeks with his hustle, his intensity. Just first of all, just his minutes on the court as a big man who can rebound, who can defend, and pleasantly surprised by how well he can still run the floor and finish.
Okay, by the way, if you didn't know who it was Laquan Johnson, a Nuggets ball boy. And Kenyon Martin said this. This ain't no fucking joke. I can curse. I'm going to find out who did it. Put my fucking hands on one of y'all. I'm going to put my hands on whoever did it. You better believe that. It's fucking personal. You better believe it. So that was to the guy who put popcorn in his car.
Wait, what the hell is a ball boy doing pulling a prank on Kenyon Martin?
Yeah, and then they have a picture. Yeah, if you're listening, Google it, and you can see it's spilling out of his car. It's just like, yeah, it's a great.
So it's like, did you ever see that movie Real Genius? It's like the end of that where the popcorn's spilling out of the guy's house.
Exactly, it's like that.
No, but
and that's when you got to sit with Kenny Martin. You're like, hey, didn't you see Real Genius? And he's like, motherfucker, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, but you know, it was obviously, you know, the ball boy was obviously put up to it by somebody.
Yeah, he's like the guy taking the rap for it because they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, you know, he'll just kill the ball boy, no big deal.
Yeah, so, you know, look, man, I don't remember killing it. I said it was a good move, didn't I? I was like, they need him. They need help. They need depth. I think the guy can still play because he was effective with the Clippers last year. So I'm like, as long as he brings that, that's not going to hurt you. He's on a 10-day. There was no downside with bringing Kenyon Martin in. Zero downside.
Yeah, no, I thought there was for some reason. I don't know. You know, I just – I didn't.
He's going to mess up.
Honestly, he may have saved the entire season.
Because here's the thing, which I read that it's not. I wish when Chandler gets healthy, and I texted this yesterday, let's start Chandler, Martin, Melo, Shump, and Felton. But he's already said that when Chandler comes back, Martin's going back to the bench. I kind of like to see. I think Melo's just done a lot at the four. He's, you know, we want to keep him healthy. That's another way you can keep him healthy, by putting him at the three and he doesn't have to bang some big bodies. I would do the switch. I would start Kenyon.
You know what? I mean, at this point, you're really just talking about, you know, we're almost at the playoffs, so it's really a question of matchups, you know?
Okay. Right now, you'd be playing the Bulls, a team that I feared, but not so much anymore. Even though they beat us three times, they're kind of real.
Are we the two seed right now?
Three. Are we the two again? We were the three last time I checked.
I think we're tied for the two again, percentage-wise. I mean,
you know, tied for the two. We have one less loss and one less win.
Yeah, I mean, let's just assume we're going to end up at the three. I think it's seeming actually – it's what a whirlwind, huh? What a whirlwind this past couple weeks have been.
Who would you rather play, Boston or the Bulls?
Oh, the Bulls. Oh, Jesus. Those are both bad matchups for us.
But the Celtics just lost four in a row. The Celtics are – here's the way you got to look at it. Boston maybe has more of a mental, like, head case, like – kind of in with there with Kenyon Martin and like the jarring and the way they talked. But I kind of maybe like the Boston matchup better because I think Garnett's a little gimpy right now. They don't obviously have Rondo. And the Bulls play our shooting better, and Thibodeau is like a great defensive coach. I think I'd rather play Boston.
I think, gun to my head, I think you're right. You know, I think we're afraid of Boston based on like sort of legacy. Like they're not that team anymore.
No.
Because I watched them, yeah, I mean, I watched them the other night. They just don't look like, you know, somebody who can really, really contend.
No, they just lost four in a row. You know what? They might even slip to the eighth spot. I don't think they will, but they're two up on Milwaukee. So who's to say Milwaukee doesn't end up at the seventh?
I mean, I would kill to play Milwaukee in the first round. We would sweep.
You? Milwaukee's quick, though.
Nah, we'd sweep them.
No way would we sweep Milwaukee.
Yeah, they're not on our level, man.
I think we're a lot better, but I think they have quick guards, and I think that's given us trouble this season.
Yeah, I think we've handled them pretty well this year.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm telling you. And, I mean, we're in. The Knicks are in. They got 42 wins now. How many games are left?
There's 14 games left.
So my prediction in the beginning of the season was 53. Clearly not getting that.
Mine was 49, if I recall correctly.
They're on pace for that.
That would be incredible if I nailed it.
Yeah. So what is the last game of the season? If they have 49 wins, you're going to root for them to lose.
Yeah, I would like my prediction to be. It all depends on what's on the line for the team.
Let's go down the list, man. Let's go down Boston, and that's the next game in Boston.
We're just going to jump ahead to the games for the rest of the season, or we're not doing
weekly? No, I'm just looking at it because we're talking about this. You want to hold off on this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think our positions are firmly entrenched. You know, how we think they're going to do the rest of the year. I think we save it for the week ahead. I do want to talk about some of these games from this week because I do think it's important that they did something that it's very hard to do in the NBA, no matter who you're playing, and that's win a home and home. You know, with no time off,
especially to a team that had our number, apparently, that we lost to twice earlier.
Yeah, I thought it was really confidence-inspiring looking ahead to the rest of the year.
That we could beat the Raptors?
No, just that we could put together a stretch of good games.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I mean, look, thank God we got that last win on the road. I mean, that was a big win.
Yeah.
Even though it's against the Jazz, still good. Orlando, they just took care of business. They were winning that whole game. And then the both Raptors game. I mean, look, you bring up Kenyon Martin. The guy was an animal yesterday. I mean, he's great. He's good on the boards. He's got a little offensive game. Obviously not the jump shot. That's a waste of everyone's time. But, you know, I mean, we saw some good movement yesterday where Kenyon Martin cut to the hoop and had some dunks, you know?
Yeah, no, I got to be honest with you. I like how you said that's a waste of everybody's time. Like, except Kenyon Martin. He doesn't realize that. He's the only guy who doesn't realize his jump shot is a waste of everyone's time.
They stand around and watch it. He takes it. I think I've seen it going once this year.
Yeah, I mean, when 19,763 people groan when you're about to take a shot, like, you maybe need to rethink your strategy.
No, he's never going to hit that.
But
yeah.
I'll tell you what I did like about his game. His finishing ability, I mean, he's got the reverse layup going on. Like, he's got some things that not a lot of big men can do.
Yeah, he's great. He's been great for us. Great.
And just that sort of intimidation. I mean, have you seen how many people's forearms he's broken on fouls?
Yeah. What did you think of the Landry Field Melo thing last night?
Oh, that cracked me up, man. Melo is like – Melo forgot he was playing the NBA for a minute. He just thought he was on the playground and some scrub was trying to check him.
Well, you know they don't like each other, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, like, to say they don't like each other as if, like, Melo has any respect for Fields for there to be a beef, you know?
None. He doesn't. He doesn't give a shit about him. But I would, if I'm not a Fields fan, obviously, and Fields was abysmal yesterday. I mean, he was terrible. Melo was scoring him at will. There was a couple times he would like dribble and get the ball stolen, but Fields didn't do much. He kind of was trying to get position on him, kind of stuck his shoulder into him a little bit. I guess he maybe hit Melo at like a weird part of his chest. But Melo totally, like, bitch-slapped him.
I think Melo just sometimes, you know, has it out for certain lower-level players like Amare, and he just wants to, you know, abuse them.
Wants to be a bully, and Melo bullied him yesterday.
He's a bully. He's a mean guy, Melo. And I think, you know, it almost reminded me of, like, when there's a girl playing at the gym. Like, he treated Landry like it was a girl.
Yeah, he's just so – I thought Melo was wrong there.
I heard him screaming out, "I have a girl guarding me." I really enjoyed that. I enjoy when Melo gets a little thuggish, you know?
Yeah, and that was so thuggish. That was so thuggish.
He could have gotten thrown out and cost us the game, though, actually.
I think they win without him anyway, but he could have technically gotten thrown out for that.
Yeah, you know who else is really rounding into form, though? His shot is coming around. Felton's shot has come back, finally.
Yeah, think about that game Kyle Lowry got thrown out. You remember that other Raptor game?
I think
Kyle Lowry got thrown out for nothing. So essentially, yeah, Melo's lucky and not a man thrown out. Shumpert also is hitting a little bit of an open shot.
You know what? And that was sort of the key to the whole season. You know, if you remember throughout the podcast, we've been talking about the Knicks are a threat if A, Kidd is hitting his shots, B, Shumpert is hitting his shots, C, J.R. Smith is hitting his shots, and D, Novak is hitting his shots. If all those four things happen, the Knicks are very, very tough to deal with.
Who's that last guy you mentioned?
The white guy who...
There's a white guy on the team?
Yeah, he actually had a dribble.
No, that's James White. He's not actually white.
Novak actually had a dribble shot, two-pointer.
I liked it. And it's funny, Walt and Breen, or whoever called him the game, when he does that, they have to talk about it because it's like such a big deal.
Well, it's probably
Novak off the dribble. Oh, there's something you don't see every day.
It's probably the eighth shot he's hit this year off the dribble.
You wish you could do that. I mean, someone like J.J. Redick is so much better. It's like the same idea. Good shooter.
Kyle Korver is also much better.
Hey, here's the thing. Here's what it's like. If you want to go by the evolution chart of someone who's a good shooter, Novak, Tracy Murray is like, and guys like that, like Tim Legler, Tracy Murray, Novak are guys who can only hit open shots, can't do anything off the dribble. And then as you go on, it goes to like, you know, J.J. Redick and Ray Allen and, you know, and then like and Peja in his prime, Peja Stojakovic. That's like the evolution of the jump shooter. Guys,
the good thing about Novak, though, you know, what you're saying is true, but the good thing is he's 6'9", you know, so it's a lot better than the little guys who can't do that.
Yeah, I put him in Tracy Murray, Tim Legler.
No, but I'm saying he's much bigger than those guys.
He is, but still, you know.
My point was, you know, now Kidd is hitting his threes again. Shumpert is hitting his threes, and Novak and J.R. Smith are going to be what they are. It makes us a threat again.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. You just, like, seeding is irrelevant because if you are going to do anything, you got to beat the Celtics, Bulls, Bucks, whoever you play. It doesn't matter. You're not playing the Heat. Essentially, you want to play. If you get that 2 or 3 seed, you're not seeing the Heat till the Eastern Conference Finals. So.
Right. And, you know, look, obviously we love that matchup, but we're, you know, is this team, you know, now minus Amare? Let's just assume Amare's not coming back.
Yeah.
Could this team knock off in Indiana now that Shumpert and Kidd are playing well again?
Yes, absolutely. Could they? Yes. Doesn't mean they will, but could they? 100%. Man, Indiana, as good as they are defensively, they have trouble scoring. Like, yeah. I don't love the Pacers. You don't love the Pacers. I think they're a good team. They're more consistent than the Knicks. The Knicks upside is better.
Yeah.
I do think that.
I would think we need home court to beat Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we could get the 2 seed. I mean, the schedule's tough, but it's not, like, brutal.
Yeah. Now, I mean, look, the Knicks are one of the few teams, actually, that's a veteran good road team. There aren't that many good road teams in the league. You know, like, Indiana's not as good a road team as the Knicks are.
Yeah, I don't think they're like a particularly like good. I'm looking at their road record. They're 18-16. Okay, so they're like 500 on the road. But I don't think that has affected them, to be honest.
Affected who?
The Knicks. I know they just had a tough road trip, but
I'm saying they're one of the better road teams in the league.
I'm
for sure.
With, yeah.
You know, I mean, they're definitely one of the better road teams. It's, you know, I don't know. I just think, you know, Conseco is a tough place, very tough place to win.
You got to also give props to Pablo, too, who's been playing well.
Well,
this
I wanted stretch. To get to, you know, when we do our, you know, top Knicks of the week, which I think we can finally do again for the first time. You know, why don't we go ahead and do that? I think it's...
When is Chandler supposed to be back, by the way?
You know, this staff, you know, who the heck knows? Maybe he has a broken neck, for all we know, with the medical staff of the Knicks.
Yeah.
You know,
are going to need him. He's someone you do need.
We cannot win a playoff round without Chandler.
Amari, we're going to live without because we have to.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Kenyon. If he's going to play down low the way he's playing, it's often slow of Amari because he's giving you offense. He gives you 8 points a game. I mean, that's good.
Listen, Kenyon, wherever you are, I give you permission to put popcorn in my car.
Yeah.
You know, hey, do you think the Knicks definitely stave off Brooklyn at this point?
Yeah, I do.
We're 3 up in the loss column.
It's tight, though, but I do, man. I mean, Are the Nets have tough games? What's their schedule like?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at their schedule. They've got some games ahead of them that are not super easy. I'm looking at their schedule. The Nets, you know, they've got Portland, Denver, Utah. They have four game road games coming up. Portland, Denver, Utah, Cleveland on the road.
They're gonna lose Denver.
Denver's got to be a loss, right?
They're gonna lose to Denver, and you hope they flub one of those too. Yeah. Utah getting it back.
They have a much easier schedule coming home after that, though. They have Chicago, Charlotte, Philly, Boston, Indy, Toronto, Washington, Detroit. They could win three games in a row at the end of the season and take the division.
Okay. Yeah, they could. Yeah, they're playing Detroit's abysmal.
Yeah, I mean, so they're going to win their last three games. So, you know, like right now they have 41 wins, right? So they're going to win their last three, so that's 44. And then they have this four-game trip. Let's say they split this four-game trip. That gives them 46. And then out of the – Charlotte will give them 47. Philly's 48. And then out of Boston, Indiana, Chicago, they're 48 wins. Those are tough, tough three games.
They're going to win about 48 games.
Well, maybe 49.
I don't think they get to 50 with what you just said, but yeah, they could definitely get to 49.
Yeah, I think that's what we're looking at for the Nets. I think we're looking at 49. Look, it's very possible the Knicks and Nets tie, and the Nets have the tiebreak.
Do they have the tiebreak as division?
Yeah, because we tied head-to-head, so it goes division.
Well, they're up three in the loss right now. So yeah. That's pretty good. Three with 14 left. It's not bad.
Listen, you know, what the Knicks have done this year is very impressive. We've been talking about it since day one. You win a division after, you know, when was the last time we won the division?
Probably you got to go back to 2000.
Right. Look, we have a tough week ahead of us. You want to talk about the week ahead, or you want to give the five Knicks?
Talk about this. Also, the Nets. I mean, Deron Williams is playing great again right now.
Yeah, he had the German platelet treatment, right?
He's playing great, and Brook Lopez is legit.
Is he the best center in the league?
Yeah. Who else gives you those points, man?
What other center is capable of dropping 38 other than Dwight Howard?
I got to admit, I thought Brook Lopez was pretty stiffy coming out of college.
No, he can play now. I mean, I think he's really worked on his game. You got to give the guy credit. I think he's really worked on his game.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. I mean, when you're that tall, you just got to, you know, you get some offensive skills that you can work on it, but I'm a little surprised. If you're looking at the schedule, this Boston game, I mean – shit, man. They got to win that. It's in Boston, though.
You know, I agree with you. I'm looking at the schedule, and of these next four games, I think we have to win three if we're going to win the division.
Well, you had to beat both. You had to take both Toronto games because coming off that West Coast trip where they went 1-4, you had to get the easy games. And Toronto, especially without Rudy Gay in that second game, got to win that one, and they killed him. So they took care of business. You're 42 wins right now. I think they're going to beat Boston. I do. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it sort of becomes a question, are they going to beat Boston twice this week?
Yeah, because you want to give them, you want to split it, and you want to give them the loss, and then they beat them on the back end when they're at home.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? We need, like I said, we need to win three of these next four. So we're either beating Boston twice, or we're going to somehow beat Memphis at home. Which one do you think is more likely?
I think we don't beat Memphis at home. I think Memphis, I don't know. I think especially without Chandler right now. Memphis,
well, Marc Gasol's out.
How long is he going to be out for?
They said they don't know. They don't know.
Hopefully he's still out. I think we lose to Memphis at home. I think we definitely beat Charlotte.
Yeah.
And, you know what? I'm going to say we beat Boston twice. How do you like that, huh?
I like it. I could go with that. I actually think we could beat Boston twice this week.
I think Boston's reeling a little bit, and that would really knock him out. I'm going to say we beat Boston twice, and we beat Memphis. Now, Boston's tough. Jeff Green's emerged. He's playing really well. Like I said, I think they get in our heads, Boston. But I just I'm gonna drink the Kool-Aid right now. I think we beat Boston twice. We beat Charlotte. We lose to Memphis. That's 3-1. That's 45 wins. 45-27.
Yeah, I mean, look, that sets us up to win the division. You know, I mean, that's because you know, as we do look at the schedule, the only three definite wins that I see on the rest of the season are Washington, Cleveland, and Charlotte. That gets you to 48. Everything else is a crapshoot.
Yeah, because Atlanta away, that's not an easy game.
No, I guess Atlanta at home should be a win, right? I mean, that should get you to 49.
Uh-huh, and then you got to – are we going to stop – because the game after Boston Sunday in a week from now is Tuesday, April 2nd, and we are playing the Miami Heat. I don't know if you've heard or not, but the Miami Heat have not lost in a while.
Yeah, but they may lose to San Antonio before then.
That's their toughest game.
Yeah.
I'd like them to beat San Antonio, obviously, like any other Knicks fan. I'd like us to break it on TNT. Mm-hmm. We beat them twice. We almost beat them a third time. Well, what about this, Matt? They're going to start resting when they lose that game. Let's say they lose to the Spurs. Would they maybe rest for us?
I don't know. I mean, Dwayne Wade sat out, I think, tonight, and they still won, you know?
We're playing the Bobcats. The Bobcats are abysmal.
Right. Yeah. Look, I'm not gonna start counting Miami games as potential wins for us.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not yet ready to say that.
Miami's got Orlando, Chicago, and New Orleans. They're gonna win those three.
Yeah.
Their Magic are abysmal. They're gonna beat Chicago without Derrick Rose, and then the New Orleans Hornets. They're gonna beat. And then that sets up San Antonio and then us.
Boy, oh boy. Well, they're going to lose one of those games. It's either San Antonio or us.
You think so?
Now you have me drinking the Kool-Aid.
What's crazy about it is after us, oh my God, look at they play the Bobcats, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Wizards, Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, Orlando. Dude, you realize those are all like winnable games for them.
You're saying they could run the table on the season?
They won't because you're going to want to get rested for the playoffs. But these games are all like, I mean, obviously the Heat are probably the best team now. If every team is not as good as them, but come on, man, the Cavs and the Magic, and they should beat all these teams.
They have two games against them. I mean, they're scary good right now. They definitely are.
But wow, I mean, it'd be nice to knock them. I mean, that would put you got to think, man. If they have 31 wins when they play the Knicks, we beat them. We've now beat them 3 out of 4 times, and we play them in the Eastern Conference Finals. It would give us at least any advantage anyone's going to have over Miami, you know?
Oh, we would be the only team with any sort of feelings that were like, oh, hey, we could maybe pull something off here.
We ended their streak. We beat them 3 times this year. Let's do this.
Right.
And you can get hot. You can ride a finals team. If Melo is playing like he's capable of and everyone's shooting like in the beginning of the season, because who's to say that's not going to come back?
Listen, I agree with you. I think, like I said, you know how I felt since day one. At full strength, the Knicks are one of the few teams that actually give them legitimate fits.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. So you know, look, we'll see how it plays out. I'd love to get Chandler back and healthy before we were even having this conversation.
Yeah, Chandler, you have Amari come off the bench in the second round. That's not bad, man.
Yeah.
Now there's no debate. You keep him off the bench when if he does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's no debate now. But, hey, I want to start Martin, and we're not going to get that.
Hey, what if Rasheed Wallace comes back?
Is he? I don't see that coming.
No?
Nah, I don't even want him at this point.
All right. Hey, we should get into the top five Knicks, actually.
Is that fucked up that I don't want him back?
Yeah, it's a little messed up because he could do a couple things that the other big guys can't do.
What? He just wants to shoot 3-pointers. We have guys that do that.
Yeah, but he passes well and he can post a little bit.
He will not post. I'm not going to let you have that, but he was, I felt, one of the strongest rebounders when he was in.
Yeah.
All right, let's see the top Knicks.
All right, you want to go first, number five? There are five, you know?
Top five. Who do you have as your fifth?
You want me to go first?
I would love for you.
Okay, I'm going to go number five. You know, he didn't play a lot this week, but he had one game that he really set the tone, and he saved our season a little bit as well. And that's Mr. Kurt Thomas, 40 years old, on a really bad foot. And he just, you know, I think it was the Utah game that he really saved our season potentially.
I was going to get into that too. Yeah, I mean, he played major minutes. That was a game we had to win. It was close. It was not, you know, a blowout by any stretch. And he, like, gave tough minutes, and he basically was hurt, kept playing, was like a warrior, and then he was, like, he's basically done for the season after that. He was great. We're just great.
Yeah, I felt really good about his, you know, just, like, it was a feel-good story, don't you think?
It was a really feel-good story. A guy who was on the team in the 90s, when they were last time they were good, and he came back to help this Knicks team. I mean... Yeah, I loved seeing it. And I remember I texted JL during it, and I said, one difference is we have Kurt Thomas and you don't. JL is our, the Jazz fan that was on the
podcast. You know, I watched the game with JL, actually, the Jazz game. I watched it with him, and I predicted that the Knicks were going to lose.
It's too much Kurt Thomas. Yeah, you said on the podcast I predicted they lose. I don't know if I did that. I think I was on the fence. I think I said they win.
Yeah. So who's your number four there? Is that you go now?
No. I have Pablo Prigioni. Hey.
Oh, he's your five?
Coming back and playing. I think he's playing important minutes. He's always feisty on the inbound passes. I think he's good, man. Yeah, and he's been starting, you know, a bit.
Wait, so Kurt was your five and Pablo's your four?
Oh, Prigioni is my five.
Okay.
Prigioni's starting, you know, we're keeping Kidd off the bench. I like it. I like that Woodson was a little more proactive than he's been with the lineup. So, Prigioni's my five.
So, who's your four?
I put a guy whose shot is improving right now. I put Shumpert. Playing good defense. You're seeing the quickness come back. Shumpert's my four.
Well, I got to say, I got Pablo as my number four. I think, like you said, you know, him starting, you know, look, I'll give Woodson credit for finally adjusting a little bit. You know, make just trying some different things. It, obviously, it was not working. Kidd was playing too many minutes. I mean, Pablo's got fresh legs, it seems like.
Yeah, because he spent games where he wasn't playing at all.
Yeah.
So he went through some stretches where he barely played at all, but I think he's a professional and he understands, and now he's getting his chance. That's the thing about this. Like, Copeland will play a lot of minutes, and then he doesn't play. Like, these guys got to be ready. It's not one of those, like, hey, we need you down the stretch. Like, you're going to get used. It's not bullshit. Like, you got to be ready, because there's going to be stretches you don't play, and there's going to be stretches you come in and play a lot.
Yeah, and, no, especially with this Knicks team, the way, you know, our age and everything, we've really had people just, you know, sit for weeks at a time and then just pop up and play three games in a row where they're really crucial to the win. So my number three is Carmelo Anthony this week. I think... You know, he got his knee drained, and he was a little bit cautious his first game back, but then the last couple games, he's just been same old Melo, who, in my mind, and maybe just in my mind, is still an MVP candidate. I mean, I know he's not a winner, but I think he should be finishing in the top five in MVP voting. I just hope that happens. I hope people realize how good of a year he's having, and you know, he's back to the same Melo who... passes, he makes the right plays, he's passing it around, and the guys are hitting big threes because of the double teams on him.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
No, I put number three Kurt Thomas for a lot of the things you said, and I said that he just, it was a warrior effort coming back and doing that, and that's a guy like we talked about, who didn't play for like a month, and then he just all of a sudden was playing 40 minutes a game, you know, playing a whole game because we needed him. And, you know, he's 40 years old and he shouldn't be doing that, but he did it. I put Melo as my two. You know, hey, man, Melo made the playoff every year of his career. That's a nice stat.
Listen, it's pretty cool.
Every year since a rookie.
What's that?
And only Kobe can't say that. There's only a few people that can say that. So far, he's made the playoffs every year.
I agree, man. I just, like, it's a big deal.
Well, we said before the year, I mean, I was like, this is going to be the best Knicks year in you know, 10 years. It doesn't mean they're going to win the championship. Like, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But let's see a competitive season where they're relevant. They've been relevant all year. Yes, they've had up and downs, but they're still going to win almost 50 games or 50 games. And it's been great. It's been a good year. It's been dark since 2000. So this is very good. Does it bother you at all how well the Nuggets are playing this year?
No, you know what? Because I think their day of reckoning could be in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, they're in the West. It's tough. If the Nuggets were out East, I mean,
it'll bother me if they make the Western Conference Finals, I suppose.
Yeah, they're playing really well with some of our old Knicks parts, and it's a little tough to say. Ty Lawson bothers me the most because we could have had him, not so much Danilo Gallinari. But Ty Lawson's a guy we should have fucking drafted. We needed a point guard.
Yes.
And I'm happy for Chandler. Chandler, I'm happy for, to see him, like, get 35 points a few games and, like, you know, he's getting those dunks and he's shooting 3-point, you know, pretty well, good percentage. I'm happy for Will Chandler.
Yeah, he's had some good games.
Yeah.
So it's my turn for my number two?
I think, yeah, who's your number two?
This is Amon Shumpert, man. I don't even think I've put him on my top Knicks all year, and I feel like mostly for his defense, he's on the ball. He's a hawk. I feel like a lot of guards are now realizing he's back, and they're kind of shying away. You could see it, like early in games, they try and go at him. He slaps the ball away, and then that kind of gets them out of their rhythm. Like Kyle Lowry was finished when Shumpert got on him. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yep.
And also, you know, he's hitting that corner three. That's really all we need him to do offensively.
I agree, man. He's hitting that shot a little bit. So open for it.
So now is it my number one, too, or is it your number one?
I think we have the same number one, obviously.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's obviously Kenyon Martin. You know, I mean, just his alley-oops between him and Kidd has been – I mean, that just gets me amped.
That was great to see. It was vintage early 2000 Nets, you know?
It's a little thing, but I really enjoy when a guy can dunk it and also kick it through the net with his foot into the stands.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really good soccer move.
Yeah. And also the pump up when you slap the backboard.
Yeah, he has that special, like, and he talks a lot of shit. I mean, he makes all the other Knicks shit talkers look like nothing.
It was crazy to see that alley of the Kid. It really was. What a time warp that is.
Yeah, I mean, well, we were on the wrong end of it 10, you know, 15 years ago.
To destroy it.
Yeah, I mean, that was painful to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
It's, look, things are looking up, man. Things are really looking up. So this week, we both are in agreement it's going to be a 3-1 week. Is that we're going out on a limb?
I'm going to say they beat the Celtics twice. It's going to be tough.
You know that there's a part of me that wants to say we're going 4-0, but that would mean we'd have an 8-game winning streak.
Yeah, I don't think they beat the Grizz. I truthfully, they probably split it. But hey, I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna stick it out and say 3-1.
Yeah, I feel good about 3-1. I really do. You can't have a letdown. You got to split with Boston. You got to beat Charlotte at bare minimum.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you got the Heat.
I'm dreading that. I'm dreading that game.
I'm not. If the streak's still there.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not like the Knicks game that they lost to the Heat wasn't uber close, you know?
Yeah, they were up by 14 at one point.
Yeah. It's
like a lot of these other teams that were up 17 or the Cavs were up like 27.
Yes, that's true. That's amazing.
You've got to make like one play. You know, those games when you're up by that much, it's just like making one more play.
Also, it's like, why not just, like, if you just dribbled at the clock and didn't turn it over, you could probably win.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you just dribbled.
Quarter. It wasn't like the first, it was mid of the third quarter, they're up 27.
Yeah, you should not be able to lose that game. All right, anything else we have to say about this podcast before we shut it down and pray?
No, I think we were responsible for their good week. I think we had a lot to do with it.
Man, this has been some roller coaster, Jeff.
Yeah, a lot of ups and downs. A lot of ups and downs. You know, they started out really hot. Then there was, of course, a lot of people talked about the 18-5. That was like, we're still dreaming when they were 18-5. And then they kind of played 500 ball till then. But, hey, man, Amari was hurt for a lot of it, getting his footing back. Then Melo got hurt and just had an injury. So I don't think it was Felton. some were shitty. So I think it was, I think they're in between those two, what they started out and the 500 team. So
I think we're a 50-win team, and that's what we're going to, you know.
Eight more. Do they have eight in them?
We'll see. We'll see. All right. Well, I want to give a shout out. Happy Palm Sunday to our Christian listeners, and happy Passover to our Jewish listeners.
Do we have a big Christian fan base?
I would think so.
Hope so.
I hope so. I hope it's not all Jews. I hope it's a mix, a healthy mix. And maybe even some Muslim listeners, whatever you guys celebrate. Happy that. Whatever you're into, happy that. All right, we'll see you next week for another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan.
Peace.